All right, now I'm here with Mike and Jim Ring, Ring Brothers. You guys, no strangers to the show. We've been doing this for a long time together. I appreciate you taking the time and chatting with us again. But it just seems like year after year after year, I hear this story where you guys go, maybe we'll bring one car. Maybe we'll just bring one car, but we're not going to, like, this was too much. We're not doing, probably 5 years ago, you're like, we're not bringing two cars. And then you brought three cars, and then you brought four cars, and then you're like, we're definitely not doing that again. But you have three cars here. What happened?
I think my wife won. He's still pissed, as in everything. It just happened that they work out, and sometimes you need that SEMA con to give you, and you know, to finish. You know, finish his cars, and you need something that makes you finish. And SEMA's always seemed to be that, bro.
Right. And, you know, oftentimes you guys probably more now than even back in the day is you get a good client, you get somebody that's, I guess a good client would be somebody with a lot of money and who's very hands off.
You know, it's amazing how
he is, how he had people bring you their car and they want you to build their car. And it's just kind of funny because just recently, and, you know, it takes a lifetime to get the clients that Mike and I have right now. But just recently, this guy just randomly in our office says, I want to build a car. Well, what do you want to build? What do you want to build?
Yeah.
And so it's kind of fun, bond, and literally, well, have the opportunity to build something different, you know, which happens to be a 71 Aston Martin that we're doing.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
So, and you know, basically the budget, whatever it takes, you know, and so it's kind of feel to get to that point where you can actually drive.
But if there's something you want to do, something
built, you feel it? How many Mustangs are coming earlier?
right. But, you know, it's also got to feel good and have a sense of accomplishment by going, a customer comes in and goes, I just want a Ring Brothers car. Like, I want to build a Ring Brothers car. I've heard great things. I've seen your work. You've earned it, like...
It's 30 anymore.
Yeah. You're like, every car hurts a little more and more.
That's, yeah. I mean, that's the way life is. Everything takes a lifetime, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's so...
It's dirty.
Yeah, it's interesting, but yeah, you start to figure it out, and then you're old.
Yeah. So yeah, that actually is a good point. Give us, what does the shop look like? What's the lay of the land like? Because you guys are still doing it a lot, but you've got to have a handful of people.
You have to pull me back just a little bit to what we were talking about. You know, you always want to come up with new things, new ideas.
Yeah.
And the older we go, we're starting to think about building custom caskets. You know, you can think about that.
Yeah.
And you know you're going to go there, so we're going to be
clear. So do you machine it out of aluminum, or do you go carbon fiber?
I'm going to print on it.
Yeah, you might be end up printing it, right? Because you don't want it too heavy, because you don't want anyone to get hurt carrying you around, right? So
wheels on.
Maybe lightweight, put an audio system in there, some sort of solar power.
Work Windows board.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's a good idea. So the Aston Martin actually sounds fantastic. And I know we were joking the other day going, listen, how many Camaros and Mustangs can you guys build? And I guess the answer is you could keep doing them, but it's nice to mix it up a bit.
Let's replace a little more exciting drive like Davis. The Weber piece of white, and it's rather bad. You know, we talked about, actually not, I don't think we're going to bring it here. Did you go before it goes to California? Yeah, we really wanted to be in some at the foil. We always wanted to play at the foil. I've never been to Londonderry, at least in a white thing. If we ever have a car that we feel that would maybe be accepted on something, we'll be more open and okay at this.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't agree more. I think the Quail would be a fantastic place to bring a car like that. And one of the things we mentioned on the shows over the past few years is just how more and more cars are being debuted at specialty events. A little less in your world because you guys do the custom car stuff, but we're seeing less at Detroit Auto Show and New York and LA Auto Show and the politics involved. But now we've seen Ford debut the GTD Mustang supercar in Monterey. They're like, that's the car, that's the audience. You know, it may show up in another auto show, but that was, they made a play. And they made a play there in a world of just Pagani and Lamborghini and Koenigsegg and Bugatti. And people wanted to see it. They loved what it represented, sort of the American version of what they were doing. And, you know, the rumors of the stories of, you know, Jim Farley going, you know, I saw GT3, GT4, Multimatic was building the race cars and he loved it. And he wanted a street car version. And I sat with him and I asked him and he's like, yeah, that's kind of how it happened. And I was like, that's what you love in an automotive CEO, by the way. But I think you guys, I'm surprised you haven't been to the event. It's definitely worth going. If you don't go next year with that car, you should definitely come out to the event. I think you know some people that can get you into the Quail. and then come out to the track. Come out to the track. I mean, we're out there. Like I said, Jim Farley's out there. The best of the best race cars are out there. And talk about being influenced by something completely different. You know, just completely different. Yeah, so tell us what's going on in the shop. What does the shop look like?
Well, we have four buildings. It seems like everyone would grow a little bit, and then there would be in the village and then the town, and then there would be our sewer line or something. We couldn't all connect them. So we were making actually four different buildings, and we pretty well have one is just the machining and parts, and the parts would be in this nicest shop. And you got the fab shop that's and dirtier, but and then you got our Heiji shop, which does also the paintwork on all these cars, and then you have the assembly.
Yeah, so the collision shop I've known you guys have had for a while. That I mean, not many people know. It just doesn't get a lot of press, but that's where you guys paint all your show cars as well. So when somebody wrecks their Ford Maverick and they want to get the work done, they get painted in the mid page.
But all the and not only technology of what these Z cars have in them, how they're made, what the,
yeah,
to get reps to come in, because if you're a hot rod job, you don't get there 3M reps,
right?
You know, reps that actually keep up on that part of like technology too. So it really is a good fit. And if you know anything about us, who we're actually building these cars, we are changing colors and the textures by the hour. I mean, these scoops in this Charger were gold day or so before we left. Looked amazing early times and put something together.
Yeah.
Just to pay the pack apart. It's frustrating because, you know, it's yard of time reference. You know, I'll put the probe foot out of it. I'll put the probe wrench in every. I'll come back and know later it will be awesome. And I'm like, I mean, you know, I guess it's crazy. Why would you keep doing this? And it's funny. There's always a good reason for it.
Yeah.
Rented and hot. But then he schooled me because I should. Well, the hours you have it. But, you know, and that's where it is. You've got all the wheel, like, we know the wheel liners that we built to this car and all in. And then it's like, boy, it scoops out. You should knew you had to take all that.
You got to take it all out. Yeah.
So and a lot of that is while you were doing it, it all looks good, right? And then you stand back at the end and going, that's this shit without a full and then the color of this, and you change that and texture of the trim to you spend an hour trying to talk himself in there, not truly in the light of it.
You gotta change it. So yeah, you're like, can we like it? Let's see how long it's gonna take for us to like it. Is it done on the fly like that, or do you go back to someone like Gary Regal, who we like, and go, hey, send me a different color real quick. I just kind of want to get it in my head.
Much at that point, once we get to the end, we're the texture people. We're the...
Yeah.
Your, you know, textures, colors. That's always been us, you know. Gary's, obviously, was designed to amazing. He's amazing. Yeah, part. We rely on him a lot, but when it comes down to textures of colors, it's that.
And that's been something that I always felt stood out on all of your cars, from just the different textures and materials, maybe taking a headline material and putting it on the floor that you've been doing for a long time. Really made the cars different. Is the interior shop in-house now?
No. We still build most of the camp.
Yeah.
Unless some of our crafts have been more 3D printing. But, you know, that's tight go, too, because that stuff can look like stacked.
Yeah. Yeah. And an upholstery shop in-house, it's like, I mean, can you keep it busy? Can you make money off of it? Like, what do you, like, does it make sense?
And be screwing the orders very few.
Yeah.
Both. I mean, seriously, if you drink a lot. I need to go get a guy to recover your car straight or in. But as far as on board, stand, you know, we had a diet artality thing for a widget with good stuff. I don't think it's been anybody better than Al. And, you know, he's gone now. And it's weird, you know. I know he never wanted to teach his trade. You know. We need to teach somebody that's cool with me.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's gone. So, but it's amazing how nobody picks up that sewing machine and lies at it.
I like some of these people, some of these guys and girls, they just wanted to do it. They just didn't, you know, they weren't like, I don't need to hand it off. I don't need to teach it. We're just gonna. All right, so
did the roles and two.
Yeah. But now there's a little Gabe. He's amazing. Yeah. Yeah.
They're. Salt of the earth, it's the people you want to work with, because you trust.
So that's an interesting, there's an interesting question there. So Gabe's in California, right? You guys are in Wisconsin. How does interior get done? Do you send him panels and do you have to send him a car? Does he bring him out here?
It was pretty all done. And wired, running, riding cars with no interior in it. We literally just took that roll of dirt inside the car and shipped it to him, and we got it back, and it was pretty impressive, really. As then there's a bit.
Yeah, Sean spent two of it inside on that, because we really wanted it to really be, like Gabe is so good that we wanted it to be like, but the car would have been then where it was just a crash and nearly just not routed out this or that.
Right.
Real one is thing too, but just back modernized, but yet still looked.
It's nothing to see.
And Gabe nailed that note with, you know, the car was a Buick car with more interiors, pretty ugly, but the wine and cherries and the way I did this,
yeah.
Verger looking wood that was in it and wrapped all the.
Yeah. All right, so let's back up a bit and talk a little bit about the cars, because we're getting into it and we need to kind of explain so people can get a visual of what's happening. We'll post photos and stuff to go with it, but. We brought three cars. It's all out there, so there's no surprises here. You've got the Rolls-Royce, the 61 Rolls-Royce. You got the Charger and a Mustang convertible, 65 Mustang convertible. Amazing. I went and saw all the cars. I went over to the other hall and saw the other cars. And right when I went there, I kept looking up at the lights going, let me see what's going on with the lights. Because you guys were talking about the lights. And I looked up at the LEDs. I was like, you're right. There's something. There's like, this one's got a blue tint and this one's got whatever. And everybody in the booth, Gentex, was super sweet and love the car. And I worked with them before as well. We did a truck project with a camera and a mirror and all that stuff. But an amazing car. But all right. So where do you want to start? The Charger? Tell us about the Charger. What is it?
69 Charger that really the biggest modifications were we lubed the wheelbase 2 inches forward.
Okay. They get a lot of hangover. Yeah.
The car's the same length, like use some wheelbases, most. But, and, you know, obviously the side scoops, the upper pick ones in the door now made them a bunch.
Okay.
And then the word we made, he says that big elephant. You know, the lower you put these cars, the higher that motor goes. So we had to go up with the wood.
Yeah.
And with Mopar, you'd be fantastic.
Is it wet sump or is it? It's a wet sump. So the motor's got to be pretty, it's tall. It's got to have an oil pan. Yeah.
The red eyes or any of them either. You got to fire pretty jacked up.
Yeah. So how does something like this come to be? A customer comes and says, hey, I want to... Like, this one feels like it was around the engine. Somebody said Helifant, right? Either they...
Kyle, when it came to us, had the Helifant, and he had bought this car. I don't know if they bought that wine and hot shade of wine. I mean, just those of the only ice.
But over the ice pot, right? They just restored, never driven, restored it.
Cup Honda and Zabel running at least.
Yeah, and then...
And whenever it showed out, how basically said, you know, let's just start with something that's like you can get some good money out of it. You can hire your name by a built around here, and we end up with the same failing. Was how it was you consider it a piece of junk by sailing. And we got the sewer.
First thing we did was we keyed it. What? We all required a key.
Did you really?
I believe we got a key. It's like,
Well, first of all, you got to find a key because no cars have one anymore. Like, you could, like, my cell phone is the key to my truck, so I could phone the car. I don't know. I'm like, so you got to find an actual key. You got to go outside to do a tractor key. Yeah. So you keyed the car, and then you're like, I hope that wasn't too deep in the metal.
So, yeah, then it just be strictly completely to Evan Hawaii, the seats, though.
And everything but the engine and transmission would
seem. Mm-hmm. So we had a Helifant car already, which is kind of interesting, but...
You drove up the road, Brad, instead of fuel, I sure have been at a rock hall every night.
Yeah.
They were dealing with him with all of it. I first of all run how he thought, we opened as it after the trail of the Brad here, because they laid out on the foot to see that as it was getting loaded on the trail, everybody's heard that story before, but now the truth to this car, they traveled it forward to bat, in the putting that was Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I thought of her like that when the sewer's far.
I read about winter, but I don't really know. I've seen it on TV.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting. The old car might just hand you the old Tenere and went over to that car in California along with the Lord Worst of the show. And
yeah.
I'm much more nervous that we've never asked drove that car. Where there's no one else or for all I know, the Moors were following, you know, in the first battle of driving. So it's...
And it's happening.
Hey, listen, I mean, I love Jay, and he's had his fair share of debacles over in the production as well. So, you know, listen, when Adam Kroller brought his Ferrari over there and it ran out of gas and then it vapor locked and then it sat there for like a year. And I think Adam went on the Tonight Show and Jay called him out on the air. And he's like, by the way, you need to come get your Ferrari. And Adam's like, why would I do that? He's like, it's like leaving a kid at Disneyland. It's the best place in the world to leave a kid. It's like, why would I go pick up my Ferrari? He goes, it could be in the back of some shitty shop somewhere, but it's at Leno's garage. And I think he was just offended because there's no Ferraris in Leno's garage. And people kept asking him. Yeah, he probably should have just covered it and put it in the back, but I guess he didn't want to store it for free. But so he extended the wheelbase. I could see what you did on the fenders. You got the Helifant in there. You had to do a custom hood on it. And it's always kind of interesting. It's like, how do you make it fit? How do you design a hood? I got a thing about some cars is like, I don't like a cowl induction hood. First of all, you can't see over them. I'm too short. Like it's a pain in the ass. And I go, but for hood clearance, there's a necessity sometimes. And like, but how do you make it look good? How do you make it cool or functional or something, right?
Yeah, and that's, I think, where you're saying about it, Kyle, you know, because everybody had them every year, but just sometimes it still looks okay. I mean, for me, it needs to be on shaver, but it's going
to
change it. But we did another Charger with the Helifant thing. I mean, the guy wanted something to look like the foot of Union's belly. I mean, I've always hated that. And then on this Charger behind you, we actually cut the wall and we stopped it, and you like the supercharger scope.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Yeah, that was kind of cool.
I'm with you. Woods are the toughest part.
Yeah.
And then that might be it. I can change the grill or the back end of it.
Right. I mean, like a wheel stands out so much, but that's easier to change. You know, when you're committed to the hood, like you said, even a small thing, just a grill or a color. And you know, you could be into 10, 20, 100 hours in metalwork, and that was just in the tooling for the carbon fiber version, right? Like, you could be way into that thing.
It's the smallest stays, though, that is, nobody ever picks up except for any of these guys who want just be.
For instance, you know, we told the story with the grill surrounding this, the stainless that's around the typical 60 on that
side.
At the seven piece distilling, so you all overlap each other, and it's not so good. And, you know, art is just like, it just looks like shit. So basically, after 500 pounds of aluminum, we machined a part down to 3 pounds, and that's a one piece brush.
Yeah.
We scanned the original.
Yeah.
You look at the even molds out there, but what does that do go?
Yeah, when you see it and it fits together, you know it works. That and your recycle guy had the best day ever, right? He's just like, I got it.
It made $40 out. I gave him 60 cents for the shirt that money.
Yeah, right. Okay, so let's talk about the Mustang next. So you've got a Mustang convertible. Now, I saw Caged, right? A gorgeous Mustang convertible. And I think on the podcast, maybe even a year ago, we talked about somebody just wanted a really nice, done Ring Brothers Mustang convertible. His thought was he was going to drive it. And I believe that guy put thousands of miles on that car, drives it. I think you said
it was an hour or more.
Yeah, something like 5,000 in the first month. Yeah, which is just amazing, right?
Yeah, we were. And you talk about scared. When you build a car to that caliber, muffled left of probably the title.
Yeah.
You can clearly create
it. I know him. Did have 10 miles on him. The guy decides he's going to pick it up.
I thought he was going to
trailer.
And he hops in this saying, I didn't sleep on him. Ruined the favor to me.
Shot 5 hours, and I haven't done it for 5 minutes. And we made it.
He made it, and he's been driving it ever since, yeah.
But he told Jim and says, he just lets everybody in the bar, like, Teddy, take it out, right? Just
everyone in the bar. It's the one place you don't want everybody to drive your car. It's just
leave. When he said he was building it to growl, he meant it. I'm surprised he had that snow tag on.
Yeah, he's going to want an all-wheel drive version at some point. He's like, hey, let's do another one, make it all-wheel drive. So somebody reaches out and says, I love what you did there. Make me something similar. And that's what we have now, Uncaged. But I went over there, I looked at the car, and obviously knowing what you guys do and being familiar with Mustangs, I don't think there's a single Mustang piece on there.
Not much. Down to the
horse. Yeah, is the glass a Mustang? Maybe I was going to say the windshield might be.
And windshield trim. Other than that, we really never know what you did at the car line. Like, the car was like a style 65 BT gear.
Yeah.
And he is forever that. You can put maneuvers on the exhaust.
Right. But you widened the car, and then you made everything proportionally fit to the car.
Even down to the original rally wheel, you know, the 14-inch Ford rally.
Yeah.
Tail lights were just... You know, everything about it is just a meh.
And how much wider is it? Is it all metal or is there carbon fiber?
That car is all. The only new carbon piece is the front grill surround. We had done one and he wiped it where you notice a 65 Mustang where they'd have a piece of trim that goes around the grill surround. It's only about 1.5 wide. 6 to 7, 8 Mustangs are about 3 inches. So, Neon has made it. We made it. They stayed depth.
Okay, yeah.
We'll go back, which is a little bit more rest.
But you were right.
You wouldn't.
Now, is the wheelbase the same, the length the same, but the car is just a little wider? Okay.
Those cars are confusing.
Yeah.
It doesn't look obnoxiously wide. Nobody even notices.
And then. You build a chassis for that, and it's a little wider, and then you'd like to think you just cut the car down the middle and just add 2 inches of metal, but there's no way it works that way. Yeah.
And look at a Ferrari. It's a small canopy.
Yeah.
So do try to, and there's a lot of, like, you see guys who were Ford at 67.
It doesn't work right. So although the car is wider, where is the width really happening? Because it's not at the windshield, right? So it's really kind of in the fender. So like
through the rear's mount, it was kind of right down.
So the doors are wider. So the interior isn't like roomier. So the dash and everything is the same, which is why it looks proportionally correct. And then,
you know, that extra inch is quite a bit when you start with a tire underneath it.
Yeah.
It's all tubbed in the back, and you can keep the back seat in it because it's convertible, and you feel a lot. I still have it.
So you're going, like, on top of the fender and on top of the door and making it a little fatter. So, yes, so there's no fender flare. It's all stock on the outside, and you've just done it down the middle. That seems like the most complicated way to do it, but it's probably the only way to do it right.
Because you got to remember, when you move the door out, your pivot point on that hinge has got to go with it. Because
yeah,
if you put that hinge in the same spot, we probably need a hinge gap to open the door. People don't realize the swing and how much room went.
Right.
I didn't realize. We just had it down here. Oh, my God, the door is, you know. It's a lot of learning. Now we know every inch you take it out, you've got to move the English report. You know, you just...
Yeah.
Thanks. But it's like, we didn't know. We just did.
I mean, you're right. Like, nothing would open and close correctly. Like, it just wouldn't work. And then, you've done this before on another car, but now the roof is missing. So... And then,
you know, you get to the end, so you cut through the fender, and you move that fender out, then it's not the same angle.
Right.
But now it's further away, so it's a sharper angle to get back to the same. So your headlight buckets, all that change.
And this has to have you have to do it with a full chassis underneath it. Because if you were trying to do it with a unibody and trying to, like, beef up the rockers and then... Yeah, you could. It seems...
But we're coming with chassis today that, you know, would be working with the electrician to make it... It's, this car guy is like a brand new thought. And the day, I did two thoughts in the shop, looked at Mike. It's kind of the nicest way we cover the.
Yeah. Yeah, don't tell the other guy with cage because it's going to come back. Is the first one, is cage widened?
Yes.
And then this one's widened. Okay. So.
Them coyotes.
Yeah.
That 10-speed automatic is an amazing.
You're right. Yeah.
Tuning of that tranny. They went through a bunch of twiddies on tranny. And
yeah.
He's with the tuner. I guess when you're driving it, you could say the difference in what they. There's so much that they so much wire and adjust with in that step. I mean, if there is like a little area where you put it in what they raise.
Yeah.
It's down on it. It's miserable in a car like that. I mean, I could see it if you. If you were 20 and you wanted that step, put on board the ceiling.
Yeah.
This jumper and just bang through the dish. You don't know it's shooting the air chip, but you can't feel it. And it's just cool.
It brings up an interesting topic because so much of what's happening here in this building in the aftermarket is like tunability. I want a street mode and I want a race mode or whatever. But there's also the other side going, I just want it smooth. I want to hammer around down, and I don't want to keep hitting the M buttons and the AMG buttons and the track button and open the exhaust and close the exhaust. Like, it's cool, but you don't have to have it. Some cars, you're like, I want it. I get it. It's cool. Like, you get in a 911 turbo, and it's total Jekyll and Hyde. Like, it's actually really comfortable. You drive it. You put it in its crazy track mode, and it's a beast. And you're like, yeah, that's a fun thing to do, but you're right, but not on the highway. So you do want kind of a more comfortable mode with it. I was just driving the new Mustangs just a couple of months ago, the new GTs and stuff. So the Gen 4 Coyote engine, which as soon as they showed it to me, I immediately thought of you guys in this world going, oh, now it's dual throttle body. Now you can create some symmetry under the hood. Now you can have two air boxes because the single throttle body, even if you made a tube and split it, it never runs right, right?
Most these guys have.
Yeah.
I don't even know it. We start messing with that intake tool.
Yeah.
The mass airflow around, which just, and the tune that comes in it, it
It never works. It never works. And my friends that do the tuning, they're like, please don't make it that way. Please, like, if you want to drive it or do you want to show it? And if you want it to run right, go. And now Ford's got the dual, but they just released a supercharger for that motor, and it's a giant single throttle body. It's like the size of a cereal bowl, and it splits in a weird Y shape, and it goes to two air boxes. So it still goes to the factory locations, but it's like a short Y and a longer Y into a giant, because they use a Whipple on it with a single throttle body. And I don't know how, between Whipple and Ford Performance, how much tuning and calibration got to make that thing work, but yeah, probably a lot. But the Gen 4 Coyote engine is a good looking engine for, you know, having the dual throttle bodies.
The engine, the other one, we covered up a lot, so they're not too good.
Yeah.
And family, they've run great up there on wearing white sheds.
Yeah, they are. They are. Which is probably why you guys LS everything. All right, let's talk about the Rolls-Royce. This is another interesting project. Yeah.
There are people, I actually like them a lot better than I ever did, but there are people, iconic car, that's a very difficult. I mean, and the reason I say it, because if they're all British standard, I mean, they thought about threads, everything's, it's not metric, it's not standard, it's a British standard. Like, oh, I mean, I didn't have a wrench in my two bikes at a trip. It's just strange to...
It's funny how that's a sense of pride for them. They're like, yeah, we have the tool, you don't have the tool, you don't get to have the tool.
And a British standard soccer, just like they pick some Nathan as a fun.
Yeah.
So... They find in fast words was a struggle for it, and just the weirdest stuff that you'd never even think about was... But the time, it turned out cool. You know, again, another roadster-shot chassis, all independent with an LT coil, 10 speed on that. Until I did also further with it, according to Reddit, we added all the other administrative wire, give you area to set it out to gates. When I turned the key on, when they're doing the head with speedometer at 159 miles an hour, and you know, they put miles on the car, not running. But it was a nightmare, and I didn't know what to do, so I called for the like, oh, you must have did something hurt.
Oh, Jim, yeah.
Ron Lewis, never.
Yeah.
Which is normally the truth.
Which is normally the truth, yeah. I have power deal with that. So, ask Mike. I tore all that, but funny. I got pictures of it. It looks like a hurricane.
Yeah.
Come to find out, GM or natural care to a transmission or is to plug into the ECU, but the hour wire and the ground wire was up there. It was even on their bleep rates were. So they started getting all these calls and all this crazy stuff at Baker cars out to 40. And all we severed it all, and I flip-flopped the wires and alert by the champ. It was funny because the GM's fine. But that's some George called me that. Said, did you ever figure that out? I would be paid. Can you tell me what the deal is? Because we got a lot of.
Yeah, you're like, give me $70,000 and I'll tell you how I fixed it. Yeah, because that's what it cost me to rewire the thing. Yeah.
But, that guy is unblocked to go out there. Like, it is so much more. It's like Mike always says, when he sees me call it without all, he just show up to Eddie. That there's no.
Yeah.
Just.
Well, I mean, you take everything out of the equation when you get to start with a fresh chassis, like a roadster shop chassis, right? Now everything is sort of decorative on top of that, right? Any twisting or whatever. And it's an interesting car, and I want to talk about some of the mods that you made to that car. But first of all, it's kind of digging into this project and even taking the car apart and even the chassis. You're like, it's a big car, but it's not a big car. It's like, it's not a lot of room. It's not like you get into it and it's a Chevy Tahoe. Like, it's still a snug, good car.
It's really what blows people's mind.
You
look at that car, we would take when you got in there, you would be at a wiggle room somewhere.
Yeah.
It's pretty tight.
It's pretty tight. Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about that car. It's right when I walked up to the car, I was with Aaron Hagar. We came by and he's like, not familiar with these that much, and I go, well, neither am I, but we have done some work with Rolls-Royce. They're very, very sweet to us, a lot of the modern cars. I did this crazy video with a burnout in the Wraith, and that they didn't love, but but it worked. And I can see you gave the lines on that car a much more pronounced, like a little bit of crisper edge, a little bit of harder edge, because the car, yeah, it has some character, it has some personality, but one hip flows right into the next, you know, to the leg or the whatever, right? And I could see the line, and by the way, more than one, across the top of the fenders, across the top, like where the door handles, like across the car, you guys created this harder kind of line to it. Really, in my mind, kind of changed the car and made it more gorgeous than it's ever been. I think you guys nailed that.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because you could go online and look at any one of those rolls. And if you look at the lines on the side,
yeah,
they're off a quarter inch or more.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing, is they're all...
lined out, even close. I mean, like, not even close. For you think of a Rolls-Royce, they'd have their body lines close. We're talking about 1960, weren't you? Even so, you're thinking Rolls-Royce, Rasmussen, is really like, are you kidding me? You can't be a quarter inch off, and it was. And then you look at any Rolls-Royce online, just look at a side profile.
Yeah.
And it'll just make you smile when you see it.
We've gone down this rabbit hole because you know that Adam Carolla's and I are such vintage car fans, going to the car auctions, seeing everything, and he has such an eye for detail on stuff. And at some point, we're just noticing Lamborghini after Lamborghini going, the e-brake sometimes is on the right side of the driver and sometimes on the left side. And we kept going down this rabbit hole, figuring out why, and talked to... you know, Valentino, I think his name, but I forgot, the test driver who was there. His story is amazing. Like, he was sweeping floors and then over the years became like their factory test driver. And he was just like, yeah, it just depended on who was building the car. Maybe the guy was right-handed. Maybe the guy was left-handed. But the guy that bolted it in just decided where it goes, right? And then he goes, that was it. And yeah, and on the Lamborghini Miura, there's a serial number on the engine block and then on the doors and on the back of the clamshell and the front. And it, sure, that's where the value is today. It's because when they made the car, if you used a different clamshell or hood, it wouldn't line up. It wouldn't fit because everything was like handmade. Guys are bending metal and just doing it by hand. He goes, so yeah, the gaps, the alignments, everything was off, especially if you had to swap parts. It's kind of an interesting thing. So you guys have a client that comes to you and says, I got a Rolls Royce. Like, this one was their idea. This wasn't something you guys were saying, hey, I had a dream about a Rolls Royce and said, let's do Rolls Royce. Somebody is a Rolls Royce fan. You said he's got a modern Rolls Royce.
Yeah, he's got the SLE and then black.
Yeah, so he's got the
2023.
Yeah, the Cullinan is the SUV.
And then he's got some black on the...
they've all got like names. So there's like a Phantom, and then there's versions of it, and there's the Ghost, and there's version. Yeah. Yeah.
Ghost.
Yeah. That's a great driving one. We went to Monterey and back in a Ghost.
The flat being held in your mother's
arm. Oh my God. It's the nicest. It's that magic carpet ride that they do. And it's interesting. I spoke to their engineers, and they're like, we drove the Ghost to Monterey. It's the nicest ride I've ever been in. And he goes, oh, we've made it smoother now. And I asked him how. And honestly, they didn't like recalibrate all the suspension. They changed the bump stops. And the bump stops are really an integral part of this suspension. He goes, it just, when it gets to that point, it does it. And in that car, which is interesting, there was the BMW F1 Williams team. I think it was Williams team. And then when they folded that team, they didn't want to lay off a bunch of the engineers, so they had the option to go and work at Rolls-Royce. So they took a lot of their technology and put it into the new cars. So as I'm driving down the road, quickly, mind you, on our way to Monterey, and the road kind of has these ups and downs, kind of a waviness to it, and the car is just going, just going right through. And I was like, what's happening? How are you guys doing it? And they said, the team we brought in, they use a GPS to see where you are. The GPS gets topography of the road, elevation changes, and presets, like preps, primes the transmission for the road ahead of you. So if it thinks you're going to like hit a bump or a hill, it'll be like, we got you. And it knows ahead of time. Crazy, right? Crazy. Anyway, put that in your next build.
That's not in the way.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's going to go in your next build. That'll go in the next build. And then LT4. How did the LT4 end up in the... Was there a packaging issue?
They bought an LT5 and figured out there was going to be a problem with those 10-speed management.
Okay.
The LT4 GM had released with that transmission, so they had the computer, everything together, and you knew it was there.
Yeah.
T5 wasn't really a different ECU just to run the transmission, and it wouldn't be talking to the motor, and I don't think it had been the ACU for my paper. So GM had it all figured out with Doc Furtick.
You know, you knew it had to be an automatic.
And it works really well.
Now, did it fit well? Because you look at the car, you're like, oh, it's 4 feet tall, plenty of room, right? Not like the Challenger, the Charger behind you. You've got the height, but it's actually not wide.
The front runners on that were the air and all, very wide. So, yeah,
Did the motor have to be set back more? The
motor was set back, but it was really more about Leon. Yeah, so getting the radiator right and how wide it is and how far it goes into the turning radius of the tire.
Yeah, that's actually interesting. Boy,
it gained a lot on that radiator system and then cars. I saw it integrated into that, you know, that big giant beautiful grill that everybody likes them in the tires.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, you literally had to build a radiator that would work at that for just one motor, but yet looked exactly like almost a stock radiator because it dipped the grill and the bias around and all the parts that attached to it. So you got it.
Wasn't like we could move anything. So the motor really had to be to get up to Amazon.
Yeah.
It was a lot. And a lot of stuff you didn't even think about.
So, and you know, those front runners on that LT motor are super wide.
Yeah.
Super wide.
You think?
So it was a lot of, you know, audio bridge. It and a bearing botch in there and order how many service.
Yeah.
Things people.
Did you have to change the dimensions of the body? Something that we're not noticing. Is it chopped? Is it widened? Is it narrowed? Or the wheel wells bigger? Or could it fit a big giant wheel and brake package? And like what sort of other subtle?
It was on the stock. It gave Rory some 61 of that. So even it's a 15-inch wheel.
Yeah, with a lot of tire. Giant. It's got a big opening.
Went up to 18. We got a lot bigger brakes on it.
Yeah.
The cars, I think, were just a joy to it. So, you had these cars and stats, the shoes, wall, and lens, all right.
And it's super quiet. I think I might have told you we bought it. I don't know what it was, which Cadillac had the Elton 4 in it or some ATS-V or something. We bought that exhaust system off of that bar, and it was like me and Iverson's grand. We had four cats in it, the muffler, and we used all that. And took the muffler and turned it up, right? Cut the muffler apart, changed the exhaust, went, put all
just to make.
Yeah.
With the cutouts back then, which are after. That car sounds like a Rolls Royce. It's dead quiet.
Yeah.
But yet, when you nail it, even though the cutouts are actually after the muffler, or anyway, it opens the muffler up to flow much better. It's really a cool thing to have that Lord. I mean, you can go and buy that all.
Yeah.
Because they're spending money. So it's cool that we made it look stock factory, but it's like really cut on top bad. These but you need to nail that car, that's all you get is supercharged.
That's right, because you would never have had that before. I mean, not anything like that. And I don't know, you're making 640 horsepower, I think you guys were saying, on that car. But you guys had some time to drive that car.
We drove it a while. You actually raced each other and caught us new 2023 boat. And I told him, I said, I think the old one's going to put a whooping on that new one. He's like, there ain't no way that old one that beats my million.
Yeah, the new ones are fast, right? As big and as quiet as it is.
So they had that just my opinion. It wasn't even close.
Well, but we raced for a darn mustard, and I got the mustard.
Yeah, I saw. I didn't see the full video yet. I kept saying the teaser. Yeah, I got
on YouTube. You can pull it up. Ray Rubbers, Will Bulls.
Yeah,
it's called the Bat.
And that's a good segue to check that out on YouTube and see these guys race the car. Well, Yeah. Is there anything else we're missing? We're going to have to do a second episode at some point.
Taking time where I remember it was the interviews we did at the shop out at work.
Yeah.
Where you let us do burnouts and we didn't.
Yeah, it wasn't my shop. Do whatever you want.
Yeah. Adam unveil our first car. I'm really one of the first cars in Babbitt.
Yeah.
Drinking a beer. And the relationship's always been cool and stayed honest and you don't even look.
So thanks.
As you were when we first met you, you know, we've met a lot of his people in the scene. I think everybody has, right? Car guys are kid and they're all just for a bleep gun, you know what?
Yeah.
Like all the years that went by since we first met, it's about where we're going.
It's been a long time. Yeah, we've been doing the podcast for almost 15 years. And you guys were very kind of early on when I saw.
I'll never forget because Adam was always good and you guys were like, well, what about, you know, your Canada? It was really the thing. Even when he was asking, we're like, now where Adam was 15 years ago.
In his head, right? Yeah, in his head. I'm
so glad because I remember you showed me one of his mirrors.
Yeah.
What do you guys do with this? You want to take this? I'm like,
actually, we had a 400 GT. We had two 400 GTs.
They weren't worth much then.
They really weren't much. And I was like, well, what do you think about doing this? And you were like, I definitely want to do that.
Yeah.
And yeah.
What is that?
I mean, into that. The 400 GT, back then it was, I think it was $100,000. It's probably 500, maybe 350, 400, you know. And now at one point they went up because Adam had two of them and we restored one really nice and I sold it for like 760. So, and yeah, that one, that was one of the cars we made money on. So it was nice to do, but, I appreciate all the kind words and I love that you guys are still, cranking away. I think if you absolutely do something at Quail, let us know. We want to be there. We'd love to be a part of it or I'd love to be a part of it, but, I just want to be there and, seeing you guys unveil something. Yeah.
We're in. Be a good spot to debut the car custody casket has this too.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen, there's a lot of debuts at the track. Bring the ass into the Quail, bring the caskets to the track, and because we're going to need them over there probably. Guys, thanks so much. I always appreciate it.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.